Hey, Church of Christ, if you're visiting with us for the very first time or logged on for the very first time, I'd like to say from the bottom of our hearts here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, we are glad that you're here. And we hope that any time that you're able to come out and worship with us in spirit and truth, that you would absolutely do so. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, let us remember to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, right? And let us remember to keep the main thing. And that is us continuously having a zeal and a desire for God's word, having a love for one another as Christ also loved us. And as we strive on this time side of life to become better men and women of God, it is my prayer that we absolutely do just that. And when it's all said and done, and you ask me for my advice, I'm going to say, thus said the Lord. And when you ask me again for my advice, I'm going to go to the Bible. And no matter what you do, I want you to know that I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Before I begin, I would like to share something with you that's important. Again, Saints DeKenna will be traveling upstate to New York. It has, you know, been brought to our attention that our grandmother passed away. And so her and Addison will be traveling. And so I would like for you to keep her and her family and our family in your prayers as they go through this time of bereavement. On the lighter side, though, there was a new minister and he was driving on an unpaved country road and he had a wreck, unfortunately. And a farmer came out and stopped and said, "Preacher, are you okay?" The minister said, "Yes, I had the Lord riding with me." The farmer took a long look at the car and said, "Well, preacher, you better let him ride with me because you're going to kill him." That's good. I'm okay. Somebody over there awake. I appreciate it. Thank you. So this morning we're going to be talking about, since we've been having such a wonderful discussion, I thought it and found it only fitting to do a brief quick sermon on practicing forgiveness. There's so much meat. There's so much that goes into understanding what it means to practice forgiveness that I think this is probably the longest Bible lesson that we've had on that particular subject. And it doesn't bother me. I'm excited about it. I'm grateful for it. I'm learning more about myself and what's required. And I'm also learning from you all. And I hope that you all are learning as well. So this morning, in this lesson, we will look at some attitudes and actions that are involved in practicing forgiveness, right? And the objective is for each and every one of us, as we leave here, to understand the proper attitude to have towards someone who is in need and seeks forgiveness. So in Hebrews chapter 10, if you have electronic devices with you, your phones or your tablets or your Bibles, I would like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 4. This is Christ's sacrifice once and for all. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4. And then I'm going to drop down to verses 16 through 18. "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin." Drop down to verses 16 through 18. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." So about the text here this morning, under the old law, there was a remembrance of sin. There was And it was so because the blood of bulls, the blood of goats could not take away sins. We are now under a new covenant, saints. Under this covenant, sins are not remembered. Under this covenant, sins are forgiven. To live under this new covenant of forgiveness, though, we as well must practice forgiveness too. Okay? And sometimes it's harder, and I want you to think about this, sometimes it's harder to forgive than to ask for forgiveness. So this morning, just for a brief, I think I have about 4 points. So I'm thinking we'll probably get out of here about 12 o'clock. And so bear with me. But repentance must precede forgiveness. All right. So in order to practice forgiveness, we must first recognize that God's forgiveness of us is dependent upon our forgiveness of others. And I know many of us have heard of this before, but a lot of members here weren't able to come out, maybe weren't able to log in. I didn't see your faces. So I thought that maybe we could go over a few things to remind you all how important forgiveness is. So in Matthew chapter 16, looking at verses 14 through 15, it says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." All right, we're going to make a mental note of that. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It is so pertinent and important for us to understand if we don't forgive, we don't receive the forgiveness that we desire from God. So we must understand and recognize that God's forgiveness of us is dependent upon our forgiveness of others. So I want you to put that in your back pocket. I want you to carry it around with you like you do your wallet. Remember that. So as an example, I want you to think about over in Genesis chapter 50. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 50. We'll be reading verses 15 through 21. Genesis chapter 50. Verses 15 through 21. And the infallible word of God reads, "Joseph's forgiveness of his brothers. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all of the evil that we did to him.' So they sent a message to Joseph saying, 'Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sins because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of God of your father.' Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones.' Thus he comfort them and spoke kindly to them." That is what you call recognizing that forgiveness that comes from God. That is recognizing and understanding how to manage your offenses. When you are offended, when you are hurt, when you are broken, when people let you down. Joseph is exemplifying this very thing for all of the things they did to him. It says that they did evil to him. They were afraid. He said, forgive them of their transgressions because they did evil to you. Right. So here you have is a recognition of something that took place. He recognizes that they did something wrong and they want to be forgiven for their transgressions. Then his brothers fell before him and were afraid. And he says, do not fear for what you think that I may do or what you think I may feel. For am I in the place of God? Many of us try to play in the place of God. We think that we have that. And he says, I'm not doing that. For am I in the place of God to act as if I have the right to deny you that? I have the right to deny and hold that over you. I am not God. And as for you, now he's rebuking them and telling them what they need to do, the error of their ways. So as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. See, we need to spend more time worrying about what our God can do, having the faith and the trust of what he can do based on what he said, than worried about what other people can do. I think Brother Flippo brought it up. It's not your responsibility to worry about what a person does after you've done what you're supposed to do. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is keeping the main thing the main thing. And that is doing exactly what God is instructing us to do. So when we do that, we bring that about. What you meant for good, I rebuked you. So now here it is. Because I have done it in a righteous manner and I know how to manage my affairs, because I am a disciple of Christ, what takes place? It is about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Because of your willingness to do what is hard, people see the Christ in you and they want to know more. They want to understand why or how is it that you can exemplify the characteristics of Christ. It is an opportunity for you to save a life. Is it an opportunity for you to preach or teach the gospel to somebody to keep them alive, because they are dead in their trespasses. But because of your example, they can see that Christ is alive in you. And now that they're dead and they see that you are alive in him, they can be brought to life as well. You see how important that is? It's so important that we do that. So he tells them in the redemption, right? Here's the repair of the relationship. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Not only am I going to take care of you, not only do you have to worry about fearing, I'm going to take care of you and your children. Now the relationship is redeemed simply because of forgiveness. The trust that was broken can now be repaired simply because of forgiveness. And then he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So saints, when we're dealing with this, we got to recognize that God's forgiveness for us is dependent on our forgiveness of others, and how important it is and how effective it can be in changing the life of a person. Right. When we talk about our position as disciples in Christ, it is a matter of life and death. It is a matter of life and death. Every decision we make is a matter of life and death. Your willingness to forgive, life and death. Your willingness to show hospitality, life and death. Your willingness to love beyond faults, life and death. Every day, life and death. We're either living for God or we are dead in our trespasses. And we have to make a conscious decision to recognize that the forgiveness that we desire so much from God, we have to extend not only to other people, but more importantly, our brothers and sisters in the faith. Number two, respect the value of the one who needs the forgiveness. We have to respect the value of the one who needs forgiveness as God respects that value. You expect God to value what you are asking for, what your request is, what you've made known. So why aren't we valuing the fact that there is somebody who is desiring it? They want to change. They are recognizing the error of their ways. Respect that value. Check this out. There was an Indian chief, right, whose father was murdered. And I'm going to tell you the whole story, but at the end of it, he goes to the man and says, you have killed my father. So, as a result, you must be my father, and you shall ride my best horse and wear my best clothes. And I thought about that for a second. I was like, wow. You want to talk about valuing the one who needs forgiveness. So, because clearly this man is desiring forgiveness. He wants to change. Now there's an opportunity to redeem or repair something that's broken. And so he says to him, you have killed my father, so now you must be my father. You shall ride my best horse and wear my best clothes. And the first thing I thought about is when Christ went to the cross, who sent him there? We did. So as a result, you have killed my son. And because of that and what you did, his blood now redeems you. And if you are obedient to my word, you now will become my sons and daughters. And as a result of that, if you're obedient to my word and do what I say, love me and keep my commandments, you will get the best of everything. Whatever you put your hands to will prosper. And I looked at them and I said, that's exactly it. The offense, and yet he forgave us for killing his son. Who is responsible for sending him to the cross? Us. And yet we desire forgiveness over and over again through his blood. And I know this to be true. Romans chapter 5, looking at verses 6 through 10, it says, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. He's talking about us. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For it, while we were enemies, we were reconciled. The relationship was repaired to God by the death of his son, if we're willing to obey the gospel. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Forgiveness is so important. It is so important. Again, it has to be the fabric of who you are as a Christian. You got to breathe it. It has to pump through your veins. In Matthew chapter 18, looking at verses 11 through 13, the Bible says, and this is a KG version. It says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. A lot of times our brothers and sisters are lost. And it says, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. You think about it, it's more important for us as believers in the body of Christ when we got an ought against our brother, or our brother is lost for whatever the reason, maybe unforgiveness because somebody hurt your feelings, whatever the case may be, it makes more sense for us to forgive him, to bring him back to the fold, to know that he is welcome, that he is a part of the family. And yes, he may have fallen short, but we have to forgive and show him the love of Christ. And it makes more sense than when everybody else is doing what they want to do and being self-righteous and they don't do nothing wrong for us to sit back and let one brother, one sister who is desiring change, but because we're not willing to give it, acting as if we're in the place of God about whether or not we're going to forgive them or if they are worthy of forgiveness. And we push them away. So it's so important for us to respect the value of that of one who needs forgiveness. Thirdly, act toward the one forgiving as we would want God to act towards us. I think we forget that a lot of times, right? I've seen an illustration where there was a husband and wife who were having issues and they were trying to solve marriage problems. So they came up with this idea to put called a criticism box. And in the criticism box, you put some criticisms in there, and at the end of the week, you get to talk about it. Instead of you walking by criticizing all day long, something I don't like, write it down, put it in the box. At the end of the week, they open the box. She had criticisms. He had I love yous. She had criticism. He had I love yous. That's how God acts towards us. all the criticisms we have, all the times he didn't answer your prayers the way you wanted to answer, why we live in a world the way we live in, all the things that you can come up with, or why your life is the way it is, and all the criticisms that you can come up with. He constantly extends his love, his mercy, and his grace by simply saying, I love you. And I did so by going to the cross to pay a debt that you could not pay. So instead of us walking around criticizing our brothers and sisters, our loved ones, our wives, our husbands, and our children, we need to be extending the love of God. Act toward them the way we will want God to act toward us, especially if they're requiring forgiveness. If they're saying, I recognize this, I realize I'm wrong. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, we talked about this. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. It didn't say that. It didn't say, well, trust them a little bit, give them a little bit of your heart, forgive them just a little bit. You know, give them a little leeway. It says, be kind. You're either kind or you're not. You're either tenderhearted or you're not. You're either forgiving or you're not, as God in Christ forgave you. And it's so important for us to do that. And then again, when it becomes difficult, Colossians 3, 12 through 13, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. You got to be kind. You have to show humility. There is no ego in forgiveness. You have to show patience. In forgiveness, you got to exercise patience. Everybody don't get when you want them to get it. And it ain't up for you. It ain't always up to you for them to get it. It's up to you to be the example. And if they see it and they get it, then great. If they don't, then God will deal with it. The battle is God's. It's not yours. It's not yours. And it says, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint, that's the rebuke. Righteously rebuke. Say what it is, then forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. It's so important for us to get that in our minds. It is such a key component. I tell you, the more I read the Bible, I see two common things, love and forgiveness. And I simply believe that you can't have forgiveness without love. You got to love God so much that it don't matter what the flesh wants. You know, flesh don't care about heaven or hell. Y'all do understand that, right? As much as we want to please the flesh, it doesn't really care about heaven or hell. Do you know why? Because it ain't going to neither one. The flesh ain't going in neither one, but your spirit man will. That's why it's so hard. You're like, what? This battle with the flesh and the spirit, why is it so hard? Well, because the flesh don't care. You're gonna lose this anyway. All this will be done away with. And we have to understand that we can't allow the flesh to overtake our spirit man and our spirit woman. We have to continue to exercise the things that God has told us to do. So we have to forgive. And my fourth point is we should make every effort to forgive as God forgives by forgetting the trespass. There's a story about a man who allegedly could talk to God. He said, I can talk to God. And as a test, because his friend didn't believe him, he says, oh, you can talk to God. So he directly talks to you. He's like, yeah. He says, and his friend said, okay, I want to know, and I want you to ask him to tell you all my sins. All the things that I've done, right? Tell me what God says about all of the bad stuff I've done. Because I know since you talked to him, he knows that he should be able to tell you. And you know what his response was? He forgot. He forgot. And of course, we understand he forgets when we ask for forgiveness. We repent of our transgressions and the things that we've done. They're forgotten about. And I love that so much because it's true. God is not sitting around with the calculations if you have a forgiving heart. If you're seeking forgiveness, if you're seeking to be redeemed back to him, if you're seeking to be connected back to the one that you disconnected to by your offense towards him. And it's amazing. We get so caught up in the offenses that other people do, but we don't think about the offenses that we do towards God on a daily basis, constantly. And we have to be reminded of this. In Psalms chapter 103, verses 10 through 12, it says that he does not deal with us according to our sins. All right. Nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. So if you put him first, you love him, you keep his commandments, you live to the best of your ability to be righteous, he will take care of you. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. And we sit around and we get so upset. We harbor these things. We harbor. We let them fester and they become more than what they really are, when simply we ought to have that radical forgiveness that Christ had and just say, I forgive you. Because I don't have time to waste worrying about what you did to me yesterday, when I know that there is a high probability that you will disappoint me again. Because what? We're human. We battle with the flesh daily. So as many times and as often as it happens, it is our responsibility as believers to forgive. Forgive, 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 and forgive again, and forgive again, and give another chance, and another chance, especially when one is asking for it. We need to value that. And again, it goes back to life or death. That very thing that you have an opportunity to show them through the love of Christ that's in your heart will either determine that their hearts will be hardened or healed. Jordan brought it to our attention. You can sometimes be so self-righteous that you push people away. And all your rebuke and all your judgment, you can push people away. Because you're not being tender-hearted. You're not being kind. You're not being patient as you go through this healing process. And we got to stop with all the I forgive you buts. We just all got to stop. I forgive you, but either you forgive them or you don't. Because the moment that you forgive them, all the other things will begin to take care of themselves, no matter what the consequences are. But there's an element that comes in there where you say, I forgive you no matter what. Because a person can go out and take another person's life. David did it. He was forgiven. Then take away the consequence of what happened in his household. But he was forgiven. So understand, forgiveness doesn't mean no consequence. Forgiveness means that it is forgotten about and we're moving past that and we're going to do whatever we can to never revisit that again. I forgot about it. And he forgot about it. So yeah, there are going to be some struggles. There are going to be some things, but we just need to understand that it is our duty to forgive. And I'll say this before I close. We have to get out of trying to mask over the offenses and doing what we're supposed to do. A lot of times I was talking to Didi and she was trying to understand what I meant about, you know, there's that rebuke and understanding of what you need to do and change and help that person change. And then there's that praise. And she's like, what do you mean by praise? Well, here's what I mean. A lot of times we try to praise through the offense. Oh, yeah, I'm blessed and highly favored, but you offended while you're sitting here in the church. You're singing praises unto God, but you offended while you're sitting here in the pew. You can pray and you can take communion, but you're sitting here offended. And you think that you can praise your way through it. Again, like I said, that Christianity is not cosmetic. It's surgical. You got to get down to the root and the heart of the matter and get down in there and fix some things and rearrange some stuff, because it's an inside thing. You can't mask Christianity with a little praise, slap a band-aid on it. I came to services and I'm mad, and you come in here and do all that, and you just, oh yeah, I'm praised, yeah, I'm highly favored, bless all this and all that. But in your heart, you hold offenses against your brethren and your sisters in Christ. You can't praise your way through it. And I know forgiveness ain't one of them topics where everybody want to hear about it, but it's a fact that is what's required of us. So don't allow these roadblocks and the enemy to get you off your game. Every time we overcome temptation, we gain credibility with God. I'm not worried about my credibility with you. I don't care whether or not you like the fact that I'm a person that forgives more, or I'm the nicest person in the world, or I'm always trying to do right, or there go Dudley do right. There he is again with all his scriptures and trying to do right. I'm not worried about what you got to say on the matter. I'm worried about what my Father in heaven has to say on the matter. And every time I do what he has asked me to do, when I am tested and I overcome those tests, I gain credibility with God. And every time that you do not, you lose credibility with God. And that credibility that you lose and the credibility that you gain is the gain is you have the ability to help other people see the love of Christ in you by your behavior. You lose them and you lose credibility with God, because now people look at you and say, well, you're supposed to be a church person. Aren't you supposed to be forgiven? Aren't you in the church of Christ? Aren't you a person that knows the word of God? People will do that quickly. But they can't do that if you're doing what you're supposed to do. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 18, it says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, that I will put my laws on their hearts and write it on their minds. That's what you got to do to manage your offenses, to manage your problems, to manage the things that keep you from doing what God is requiring of you. You got to manage your offenses. You got to put his law on your heart. It has to be stayed on your mind. Then he adds, I remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. So the question I have for you this morning, very simply, are you practicing forgiveness in your life? Or are you struggling with that? Do you recognize that God's forgiveness depends upon our forgiveness of others? Have you come to the understanding of we need to respect those and value those who need forgiveness as God respects those who value that? And then we need to act toward the one forgiven as God would act towards us. You don't forgive a person and then start treating them wrong. You don't be mean to a person. If you forgive them, that means you've forgotten. You don't have time to remember the offenses when you're trying to build them. We're not to tear down fences. We ought to build bridges to connect us together. And so if you are a Christian, but you have fallen away, you are in need of forgiveness. And here is the place where you can get it. Here is the moment and the time that you can get it. And if you are wanting and desiring to be back with the Father, who is waiting on you to return, you can do that now. Because a lot of times people feel like, well, God won't forgive me. If you ask for it, he will be faithful to forgive you. And your brothers and sisters want to forgive you too. There's somebody in here who's looking at the situation. If there's an altar, something going on between the two of you or somewhere else or in your family or whatever they may be, they want to forgive you. You just repent today. And if you're not a Christian this morning, God wants to forgive you. He wants to give you an opportunity, but you must accept his forgiveness. You must accept it. Listen, he instituted a plan for the man to make it to heaven. And it is simply up to us to be willing to receive that plan. So if you're here this morning and you've been struggling with forgiveness, you've been struggling with managing your offenses, you can start today. And if you haven't put Christ on, you can put him on. and he can help you through all of this. We will help you. I will walk you. Please don't sit there. Please don't sit there if there are some things that need to be brought to light. If there's some things you really need to be bringing to light, don't sit there and wait. I always like to remind people of what state you would be in if Christ came back yesterday. That's something we got to keep in our minds, because I know we look forward. We always look forward. We don't look backwards. But if he came back yesterday, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and you were arguing, when you were being disrespectful to your parents, young folks, mumbling under your breath, young folks, being disobedient, young folks, you older people arguing with your children, with your husband, with your family members over silly things that don't even matter, and now you're harboring things. Those are the things that I'm talking about. And if you haven't gotten those things right, you first need to get them right with God. And now, and if you've got an out with your brother or your sister, you need to make that right as well. So the invitation is yours. If you're here this morning and you are subject to the invitation and you're ready to manage your offenses and learn how to forgive as God has commanded us, you can do so now. Together we stand and sing.